Now, shall we begin?
All right, let's take up State of Idaho versus Matthew Townsend, CRMD 2015-1896. We've got Mr. Townsend. Mr. Townsend, if you'd come on up and have a seat, please. Thank you. Mr. Townsend's present. His counsel, Mr. Austin, is here. We've got Ms. Germaine here for the state. What is the state's motion?
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, the state has received information that Mr. Townsend has been making threats to the Meridian Police Department. Based on that information and the contents of that threat, the state would be moving to revoke Mr. Townsend's bond. We would also be asking for a no-contact order in this matter in regards to the officer involved in this case and any relevant family that was addressed in that message.
Matthew Townsend was made into a criminal for using a sidewalk and a crosswalk without the explicit permission of a police officer. And then he was turned into a felon for complaining about his mistreatment on Facebook. On February 2nd of this year, Matthew Townsend, who lives in Meridian, Idaho, that's a rather upscale suburb of Boise, and it's afflicted with exactly the type of progressive municipal government that one would expect of a town of that kind, was protesting outside of a business that calls itself the Liberty Tax Service. Liberty Tax Service, of course, is a self-nullifying phrase. And in recognition of that fact, Matthew was holding a sign that on one side explained that taxes do not equal liberty, and on the obverse advised passersby that taxes fund terrorism. Both statements are incontestably true. Liberty Tax Service, as the business styles itself, often employs people to advertise its services by standing on sidewalks clad in a Statue of Liberty costume. As a staunch believer in the principle of truth in advertising, Matthew Townsend decided to dress as the Grim Reaper in flowing robes with a toy scythe. While he was standing on a sidewalk, bothering nobody and attracting no hostile attention from the proprietors of the business in front of which he was protesting, Officer Richard Brockbank of the Meridian PD screeched to a halt in his police cruiser and decanted himself and started to upbraid Matthew for supposedly impeding traffic. Specifically, he was browbeating Matthew, trying to bully him into admitting that he had been impeding traffic, which Matthew had not done. Matthew, of course, said, "I've not been impeding traffic. I've been standing on the sidewalk. I've not been obstructing pedestrians. I'm simply conducting a one-man protest." Trying to build the stop, which is what police drones are programmed to do, Brockbank, first of all, demanded ID from Matthew, who did not have any in his person. Matthew supplied his name and told Officer Brockbank where he lived. Most likely, those details were already known to Brockbank because Matthew has been a very conspicuous presence as a cop watcher in Meridian and elsewhere in Ada County. At some point during the encounter, Brockbank demanded that Matthew undergo some form of a sobriety test. I believe the specific method was that the officer asked for Matthew to follow his finger with his eyes. There was no evidence of intoxication. Matthew had not been drinking. He had not been driving. Finally, desperate to charge Matthew with something, Brockbank once again demanded that Matthew admit to obstructing traffic. And Matthew insisted that he had not. Brockbank said, "I saw you do this." Exasperated, understandably so, Matthew said, "Then charge me. Charge me with the offense if that's what you saw me do." At that point, Brockbank simply shut up. So he hit the button on the crosswalk signal and began to make legal use of that conveyance. At this point, Brockbank screamed at him that he was not done with Townsend. Oh, yes, he was. As a matter of law, he was done with Townsend. He would not charge him with an offense. There was no reason for Matthew to continue the encounter. It was a matter of the discretion of the citizen at this point because the police officer had no right to detain him. And yet Brock Bank summoned two of his comrades, and the three of them arrested Matthew, who put up no resistance, although he was legally and morally entitled to do so. They arrested him for resisting and obstructing, and his resistance and obstruction consisted of not admitting to a charge for which the police officer could not present evidence. Witness the fact that he declined to file charges against Matthew for obstructing or impeding traffic, pedestrian or otherwise. This happened on February 2nd. On March 19th, Matthew had a pre-trial hearing at the Ada County Courthouse in Boise. On the eve of that hearing, Matthew published on his Facebook page, copied to the Facebook page of the Meridian Police Department, and also copied to everybody who shares the surname Brockbank, because apparently Richard Brockbank, the officer, is not on Facebook, a statement demanding that the charges against him be dropped, because the charges were utterly spurious, they were a form of harassment, his arrest was unjustified and thus an abduction. If the charges weren't dropped, Matthew said, he would begin a peaceful and legal shame campaign, directed first of all at his chief abductor, Richard Brockbank, but also at the other officials who would have been involved in supporting the man who committed that criminal offense against the person and liberty of Matthew Townsend. When he showed up at the Ada County Courthouse the following morning, Matthew's court-appointed attorney informed him that the City of Meridian, acting through the City of Boise Attorney's Office, the City of Meridian contracts all of its prosecutions to the Boise City Attorney's Office. But the City of Meridian, acting through a contract prosecutor from the City of Boise, intended to seek revocation of Matthew's bond. It already paid a $300 bond, and to file new charges against him for felonious intimidation of a witness. The witness in question was the timid, shrinking, paling creature known as Officer Richard Brockbank, who apparently was so palsied with terror at the prospect of being shamed through social media and through peaceful demonstrations that he was considering an abdication of his duty to testify against his victim when the victim went on trial. They wanted to charge Matthew Townsend with a felony and arrest him either during the hearing or after the hearing. They wanted to take him to jail at that point on a $25,000 felony bond because of something he had published on his Facebook page that was as pure an exercise of First Amendment dissent and peaceful civil disobedience as one could ever find. At no point in any of this, I reiterate and emphasize, did Matthew Townsend break the law. He was peacefully expressing a protected opinion, a dissenting opinion with respect to government policy. Indeed, the defining government policy, which was taxation, and its close kindred, which is warfare. He's a peace activist. When he was harassed by a police officer to no good purpose and without justification, he was arrested without cause or justification. He protested his treatment in a public forum as surely as if he were standing on top of a soapbox in a public square in Boise, Idaho. And yet, the City of Meridian Police Department, the Office of the Chief of Police, was the instigator of this development, sought to turn him into a felon on the basis of something he had said in cyberspace that was not a true threat or indeed a threat of any kind, that was once again an exercise of his right to petition for redress of grievances. And that doesn't end the outrage. This is Will Grigg with Freedom Zealot Radio. Stand by for more sedition after this.
Your Honor, it was brought to the city's attention through the chief of police that Mr. Townsend had made a post on the Meridian Police Department Facebook page.
Based on how you've referred to it, is it something that you anticipate there being potential criminal charges out of?
Yes, Your Honor. Based on the information that the office has received, I believe that we will be routing these messages to the county for potential charges of intimidating a witness.
The underlying facts of this case are, at their worst, a resisting an obstruction by means of civil disobedience. It's a First Amendment issue. The worst facts in the police report include the state the officer noting that Mr. Townsend had a sign that was conveying a First Amendment message regarding the government and that he was doing it at an intersection. That's the worst facts in this case. There was no foot flight. There was no pushing. There was no shoving. There was no fighting. He was in all other ways completely cooperative, except when he decided he didn't any longer want to have contact with the police, which, of course, we are absolutely allowed to do.
Although the defendant does have a First Amendment right to freedom of speech, he does not have a right to commit criminal acts while speaking. In this case, he did make direct threats to the individuals. Whether these are cast in a violent or nonviolent manner, he states, and I quote, "I know where you live." That is in direct correlation to the officer in this case and the officer's family. Bond is appropriate in this case, Your Honor. The defendant did resist the officer's commands to stop in this initial instance. The officer had told him that he was investigating the crime that he had just committed. He continued to walk away. The officer had to put the defendant in handcuffs. At this time, the defendant is a threat to the community, and some bond is warranted. Thank you, Your Honor.
I am going to set this motion of the state's for hearing on March 30th at 10:30, and I will require the state to file their motion and have that served on Mr. Austin no later than Monday the 23rd. While it is concerning what the state is alleging, what I don't hear is any threats related to any type of physical harm, violence, things of that nature to the officer involved in this case or his family.
Matthew Townsend faced a pretrial hearing on a charge of resisting and obstructing a police officer because he had walked away from an encounter with Officer Richard Brockbank of the Meridian Police Department when Brockbank declined to charge him with a crime. That means that the investigative encounter was over. There was no reason for Townsend to be further detained, so he simply walked away, legally using a crosswalk. At that point, he was arrested for resisting and obstructing. This was obviously a cover charge for the underlying offense, which was contempt of cop. You won't find that listed in any state code or any Book of Municipal Ordinances, yet it is the most common offense, subject to summary punishment up to and including the death penalty. On the eve of his pretrial hearing, Matthew Townsend posted on his Facebook page, tagged to at least 24 media outlets and probably scores of people, including everybody he could find with the last name of Brockbank. He posted this statement demanding that the charge against him be dropped. That's an entirely reasonable desire. If this didn't happen, he advised, and I quote now from this supposedly threatening Facebook post, "I will begin a nonviolent and legal shame campaign that will be remembered. HOA, that is Homeowners Association, upsets, protests in the aggressor's neighborhoods. I know where you all live. This is notification of knowledge and future protests, not a threat. Mailers, door hangers, online ads, local and hopefully national media. I've done it before and I can do it again, as well as other peaceful but annoying avenues will commence." There's no law against being an annoyance. There's no law against shaming somebody, particularly a public official or officials. There is no law that says that you cannot post on Facebook or in any other communications medium, a statement demanding redress of grievances from the government. Nothing in this post constituted a threat or an incitement to violence. This was a distilled exercise of what we are told is the constitutionally protected right to petition for redress of grievances. And in this case, Matthew Townsend had a very strong grievance. He had been unlawfully abducted under the color of supposed authority. And yet when Matthew showed up for his hearing just a few hours later, his court-appointed attorney informed him that the Ada County Sheriff's Office was prepared to arrest him at the courthouse because this anodyne message was treated as a terroristic threat against Officer Richard Brockbank and his family. Family members had been tagged in this Facebook post. So had the media. The media was not treated as victims of a threat because no threat was made in the post. This was advocacy. This was the effort to publicize a grievance with a government official who had done a criminal injury to Matthew Townsend. Yet the chief of police of the Meridian Police Department prevailed upon a young woman in his employ by the name of Officer Shannon Taylor, who works domestic violence cases for the Meridian PD, to swear out a warrant accusing Matthew Townsend of attempted intimidation of a state's witness. During the March 19th hearing, the prosecutor, another young woman by the name of Abby Germain, she was on contract out of the Boise City Attorney's Office. She works within the Enterprise Division of the Boise City Attorney's Office. Acting as prosecutor on behalf of the City of Meridian, Abby Germain claimed that this constituted a threat. It demonstrated that Matthew Townsend was a threat to the community. It evinced criminal intent on his part, and in the interest of protecting the community, Matthew Townsend's bond needed to be revoked, and a new charge of felony witness intimidation had to be lodged against him and referred to the Ada County DA's office for prosecution. If you listen to the recording of that hearing, it almost seems as if Ms. Germain is auditioning for a daytime Emmy. So freighted is her presentation with melodrama, and so histrionic is her description of what that perfectly innocuous Facebook post said. It was pretty clear that she was hoping that her affected passion and her youth and charm could somehow inveigle the judge, Magistrate Judge James Cawthon, into revoking bond and authorizing the arrest of Matthew Townsend. The problem here is that she happened to be confronting one of the few judges I've encountered in the state of Idaho who apparently is possessed of native good sense and a commitment to due process and the rule of law. So, when Germain said, he states, and I quote, "I know where you live," that is in direct correlation to the officer in this case and the officer's family. What Judge Cawthon said by way of reply was, "While it is concerning what the state is alleging, what I don't hear is any threats related to any type of physical harm, violence, or things of that nature to the officer involved in this case or his family. As to the state's request that bond be revoked in order for a new charge to be filed, Cawthon turned down that motion and instead directed Ms. Germain to write a motion to submit to the defense attorney on the following Monday, and then a hearing was scheduled for March 30th. The case should have been held in abeyance until March the 30th, at which time the prosecution would have been at liberty to present whatever evidence it could marshal to justify the revocation of bond and the filing of new charges against Matthew Townsend. In the meantime, he would be able to resume his work in the productive sector, where he feeds people rather than feeding upon them, and otherwise he could resume his life. This was something the prosecution could not countenance, nor could the chief of the Meridian Police Department. They simply lusted and ached to put a felony arrest on Matthew Townsend's record and to put him in a cage for as long as possible. So rather than obeying a court order, they went judge shopping. They arranged an ex parte hearing, that is to say, a proceeding in which the defense was not represented, in order to obtain an arrest warrant for felonious witness intimidation. In defiance of the existing court order issued by the trial judge in the original criminal case. This was not only abusive and corrupt and vindictive, it was quite possibly illegal, and I'll have a lot more to say about that in just a minute.
Doing exactly what Dr. Martin Luther King wanted to do. He's doing it in the age of social media. He is trying to shame the government, which is First Amendment protected speech. What he did does not warrant an increase in bond. What he did is very similar to what he was doing here. He was communicating a message that shared his displeasure with the government's actions. That is absolutely the number one thing protected by the First Amendment free speech laws. He hasn't made any physical threats, either in the underlying case or in the information that's come to the state's attention. The one thing that we want the court to be aware of is nothing that the court decides here today should infringe on his First Amendment right to communicate his displeasure with the government.
In the emotional palette of human behavior and motivation, you can find certain colors and shades and tones that are not particularly appealing, and some of these we could put under the category of passive aggression. I grant, that's a term from psychology, a discipline with which I have some misgivings, but I think it's useful shorthand, if you will, for a whole series of behaviors and attitudes that are not at all useful, but very commonplace, particularly when we're dealing with people who have claimed unwarranted privilege. In other words, for the most part, the sort of people we'd run into in government bureaucracies. Passive aggression consists of making demands upon people without merit, in which the aggressor, and it's a form of aggression once again, tacitly claims victim status and embraces a series of attitudes that are best characterized as sullenness and spitefulness, displaying a certain simmering and largely unexpressed hostility. There's often persistence in discredited claims or accusations or an embrace of certain falsehoods. Passive-aggressive people tend to insinuate rather than to accuse people candidly, hoping to take advantage of the conscience of the person being targeted. I can't remember who it was, but a couple of decades ago, somebody coined the term victimidation to describe this routine. For a museum-quality exhibit of passive aggression, we need look no further than the following statement issued by the Meridian Police Department in Meridian, Idaho. The Meridian Police Department prides itself on its positive relationship with our community. We know we are here to serve our citizens, and we realize it is an honor to serve you. Recently, we arrested an individual who does not agree with his arrest. Let me stop here for just a second. We arrested an individual who does not agree with his arrest. That phrase is so blasé, you'd expect that they're describing somebody who didn't like the service he got in a restaurant, rather than somebody who was subjected without legal cause or justification to a violent assault upon his person and the deprivation of his liberty. Why would somebody agree with this? Police departments don't serve you. They exist to take your rights away. Only incidentally will they ever do anything that is in any way helpful in terms of protecting your rights. To continue. Recently, we arrested an individual who does not agree with his arrest and has gone to the media to tell his side of the story. Many of you will see posts and links on our Facebook page from his supporters, and we do not plan on removing these unless they become offensive and or use language not suitable for families. There is the implicit accusation that this individual and the people who support him, they're not going to name him in the fashion, as one of my friends says, of Harry Potter. He who must not be named is Matthew Townsend. But there's the insinuation here that they're dealing with offensive, vulgar, and potentially violent people. And there's no evidence that violence is in any way one of the methods used by Matthew and his supporters. This individual is telling only one side of the story, and we are unable to respond fully due to the pending trial. Oh, how unfair. They can simply arrest this man, abduct him at gunpoint without cause or justification, but they're the victims because they can't tell their side of the story. Well, you know what? We've heard their side of the story. Their side of the story consists of the public record of the arrest. They have to justify this. That's the way the system is supposed to work. If you're going to lay hands violently on another human being, then you're the one who has to justify what's being done here. You've already told your side of the story, and the victim in this instance is telling his side of the story. Please know we respect all of our citizens and your constitutional rights, and that is a documentable, demonstrable lie. This individual has the opportunity to dispute his charges in the court of law, and we absolutely respect this right. However, when an individual threatens to harass our officer and his family, and that is a lie, and they know it's a lie, that lie was rejected by Judge Cawthon. There is no threat against the family members of Richard Brockbank. They were tagged, as were journalists from across the country, as were policymakers throughout Ada County and Meridian, as a way of getting the message out. There was no threat to harass anybody. There was a promise that he would shame the individual who kidnapped him. When an individual threatens to harass our officer and his family members, unless the charge is dropped, this is unacceptable. We expect due process to be respected, and know the majority of our citizens do as well. Notice how they do not describe the charges against Matthew Townsend. He was charged with resisting and obstructing because he walked away from a police officer when he had no legal cause to remain in the presence of the police officer. There is no description of what he said in his Facebook post, where he repeatedly disavowed any intention to use criminal or violent means in order to seek redress of grievances. The Meridian Police Department, presumably the office of the chief of police, is trying to make it look as if they are victimized by this very small, unassuming guy whose only weapon is rhetoric. Judge Cawthon, as I pointed out in the last segment, had ordered, it was not a request, a recommendation, or a suggestion, had ordered Abby Germain, the acting prosecutor on behalf of the city of Meridian, to file a motion requesting, or explaining rather, why bond should be revoked and provide it to Matthew Townsend's defense attorney no later than March 23rd in anticipation of a hearing on March the 30th. Rather than doing so, she, and I think the proper word is, conspired with the Ada County DA's office to conduct an ex parte hearing in defiance of Rule 7 of the local rules of the District Court and Magistrate Division for Idaho's 4th Judicial District to obtain an arrest warrant for felonious witness intimidation on the assumption that the threat of shaming Officer Richard Brockbank was an injury or a threat of injury of such imminence and such magnitude that immediate action had to be taken in order to protect this poor, fragile creature. The complaint that was filed by the Ada County DA's office cited a carefully cropped and artfully dishonest rendering of Townsend's Facebook post. It was, in substance, however, indistinguishable from the version of the post, which Judge Cawthon said displayed no evidence of a genuine threat. On the basis of this ex parte hearing, an arrest warrant was sworn out that was served against Matthew Townsend on Friday, the 20th of March, after dark, after 10 o'clock in the evening. He had gone to bed. He had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to his job in the productive sector. He was dragged from his house, shackled, after dark. The design was for Matthew Townsend to spend the entire weekend in jail. Fortuitously, his mother was able to pay $2,100 in order to secure a bond for his release. So, to date, Matthew and his mother have paid probably in excess of $2,400 in order to ransom Matthew from confinement on the basis of two completely invalid criminal accusations each of which is a form of official retaliation. I believe, on the basis of Rule 7 of the Rules of the District Court and several other provisions of law here in the state of Idaho and the ethical rules that guide the conduct of both prosecutors and attorneys in general, that Abby Germain has probably committed criminal contempt, and I earnestly hope that Townsend's defense attorney files a motion for contempt of court against Abby Germain. She just started her career. She's about 2 years out of law school. She probably looks upon this case as her big break because she works in the enterprise sector of the Boise City Attorney's Office, and now she gets to play Boston Legal and pose and preen in the courtroom. Miss Germain's career, which has barely begun, may soon be over. She is the lowest on the totem pole. She is the last in and should be the first to leave. If a 1983 lawsuit, a civil rights lawsuit, is filed by Matthew Townsend, and I fully expect that one will be, and if the Meridian City risk management people look at the lawsuit and decide that a settlement is in order, because they're not going to be able to win, her name is probably going to feature very prominently among the defendants in that lawsuit. And it's entirely probable that ere long she'll be looking for employment elsewhere. They say that experience keeps a dear school, but fools will learn in none other. I'll be back in just a minute.
This information that's come to the state's attention is essentially the exact same thing. It is First Amendment commentary. Whether he shouted what he said from the courthouse steps on the atrium of the Capitol or online in that forum, it is clearly seeking redress from the government. It is First Amendment issues. In Mr. Townsend's desire to get the message out as well as he could, he tagged a number of individuals. He does not know these individuals. All he was doing was using what Facebook would tell him, finding every individual with the same last name as the officer and getting the message out. He does not know the officer's family. He does not know where they live. He does not know whether the people that he tagged were all family members or not. They could be cousins. They could be kids. They could be his wife. They could be anybody with the same last name. And he tagged other people who aren't even involved with the family. He wanted to get his message out. That's all he was trying to do.
Your Honor, although the defendant does have a First Amendment right to freedom of speech, he does not have a right to commit criminal acts while speaking. In this case, he did make direct threats to the individuals, whether these are cast in a violent or nonviolent manner.
Abby Germain, whose rhetorical and forensic skills would not put her in good stead in a junior varsity high school debate team, seems to think that it is possible to make a nonviolent threat. What she said in describing the Facebook post made by Matthew Townsend, protesting his unlawful and unwarranted arrest by Officer Richard Brockbank of the Meridian Police Department.
What happened? Did your balls drop off?
What Abby Germain said was, in this case, he did make direct threats against individuals, whether these are cast in a violent or nonviolent manner. Bear in mind, Abby Germain graduated from law school about 2 years ago. She hasn't been a lawyer long enough to have forgotten the relevant case law that defines a true threat. And that doesn't support her claim that a conditional promise to carry out a nonviolent legal action can be treated as a threat of any kind. So she either didn't learn that case law or she simply chose to ignore it. And then later, after Judge Cawthon candidly and appropriately said that nothing in Matthew Townsend's Facebook posts constituted a threat of violence, Abby Germain went around that judge, working with the Ada County Prosecutor's Office, in an ex parte hearing, committing what I contend is an act of contempt of court. According to Idaho state statutes defining contempt of court, that would be found in Idaho Code Section 18-1801, specific mention is made of contempt of court through willful disobedience of any process or order lawfully issued by any court that would apply to the ruling issued by Magistrate Judge Cawthon. They went to a separate magistrate. They didn't go to a district judge, interestingly enough. They went to another magistrate judge there in the Ada County District Court. Furthermore, and I think that this is relevant as well, because we're talking about a supposed threat being made by somebody who victimizes this poor, timid, shivering creature known as Officer Richard Brockbank.
What happened? Did your balls drop off?
Judge Cawthon is one of two presiding judges in the domestic violence court in Ada County. So this is somebody who is very well acquainted with the laws governing intimidation, stalking, harassment, and threats. He is probably the most competent judge in that jurisdiction to deal with questions as defined by current statutory law that would involve such matters as threats, intimidation, and stalking. The case law dealing with so-called true threats, for the most part, is bound up with the Supreme Court decision from roughly 40 years ago called Brandenburg versus Ohio. And this had to do with a seditious libel law in the state of Ohio that was used to prosecute a Klansman who had actually threatened violence against public officials, but not in a way that gave rise to concerns of imminence. Under Brandenburg et sequentia, to be a true threat, speech has to be intended to and actually lead to imminent lawless action. So there are two components here. The first is intent. Is the intent of the speech to bring about lawless action? The second qualifier is imminence. Is this something that is likely to occur right away as the result of the speech in question, whether you're talking about furtive, covert speech in the form of conspiracy, or you're talking about open exhortations or incitement to criminal action? There must be the intent to bring about the action must be imminent, and it must be lawless. None of that applied to what Matthew Townsend wrote. More recently, in 2004, I believe, in a federal court in Alabama, there was a ruling in the case of United States versus Carmichael that is very relevant to what happened here in the case of Matthew Townsend. The government wanted to close a website run by a defendant who was being prosecuted for selling 11 duffel bags of marijuana. The website offered the names and photos of DEA agents and several informants involved in the defendant's case beneath the word wanted in large red letters. That sounds an awful lot like witness intimidation, as it would be construed by the likes of Abby Germain. However, according to the federal court, this was not witness intimidation. The website also had a request for information about the people being named as potential witnesses. The site contained the following disclosure: "This website is definitely not an attempt to intimidate or harass any informants or agents, but is simply an attempt to seek information. Carmichael maintains his innocence and wants the public to know all the facts as well as the participants in this case. As Matthew Townsend did, Mr. Carmichael was taking his case to the public and seeking redress of grievances. The government moved for a protective order, asking the court, the federal court, to close down the website on the basis that the defendant was trying to intimidate possible witnesses to the case. Several DEA agents testified that their informants felt scared by the website and were reluctant to testify for fear of their safety." So, in this case out of Alabama, we actually have a positive affirmation by the witnesses that they felt intimidated by the presence of this website. They were witnesses, they were being intimidated. It would seem to be an open and shut case. Oh, but it wasn't. The DEA agents were also concerned that if their pictures were posted on the site, the photos would hamper their ability to do their job and increase the possibility that they would be harmed. And so, like the bold and valiant badass Officer Richard Brockbank,
"What happened? Did your balls drop off?"
The DEA agents were intimidated as well. The district court identified the issue as whether Carmichael's website constituted political speech protected by the First Amendment or a true threat. And I'm reading, by the way, a summary of this case from a recent article in Texas Tech Law Review by somebody who wants to change the existing case law because, as a collectivist and a progressive, he thinks that there should be restrictions on free speech, and he's lamenting the fact that case law does not, at present, permit such restrictions on online speech. Relying on a series of Supreme Court cases that did not provide a lot of helpful guidance in the opinion of this Law Review article author, the court held that the website was protected speech because there was no explicit threat on the site, and taking context into account, none of the witnesses or informants in the case should reasonably have felt physically threatened by the, quote, general atmosphere of intimidation created by the site. Thus, the court denied the government's motion to close down the site, and the order was apparently never appealed. That's from 10 years ago. As far as I can tell, and admittedly, my expertise in this matter is not extensive, that's the most recent case dealing with the question of supposed witness intimidation by posting something online or in social media. This was a case where witnesses claimed to have felt intimidated. I don't know if the valiant juggernaut of justice known as Officer Richard Brockbank,
what happened? Did your balls drop off?
Has admitted to being intimidated by Matthew Townsend. But even if he had admitted that despite the fact that he goes to work clad in body armor, carrying multiple implements of mayhem and lethal violence, and of course swaddled in the intangible but impervious armor of qualified immunity, with a SWAT team at his beck and call if he really feels threatened, despite all of this, he might feel in some sense intimidated by or threatened by the words spoken by Matthew Townsend under the existing case law. That's still not enough. Even if there were an explicit threat of violence, furthermore, it probably wouldn't be enough. There's a 1982 Supreme Court case entitled NAACP versus Claiborne, involving an activist from that civil rights organization named Charles Evers, who made what appeared to be threatening comments during several political rallies. This had to do with boycotting businesses that were seen as discriminatory during the late 1960s. What Evers said at one such rally was, "If we catch any of you going to any of them racist stores, we're going to break your damn neck." Furthermore, some acts of violence occurred during the boycott, and yet the Supreme Court held that the speech by the NAACP leader could not give rise to liability because, though emotionally charged, the, quote, rhetoric did not transcend the bounds of protected speech set forth in Brandenburg. Although the threat of violence was explicit here, and it would certainly be lawless, it failed the test of imminence. There is no basis in Idaho law, in federal law, in case law, to treat what Matthew Townsend wrote as if it were a true threat. This is a pure, unfiltered, unalloyed, unmitigated act of harassment and intimidation and state terrorism by the city of Meridian, and it damn well better stop. Thank you for joining me this week on Freedom is All That Radio. Please join me online at freedominourtime.blogspot.com. I'll be back with you again in a week, and until then, as always, doom spirito pugno while I breathe, I fight. Good night, God bless, and may we send the state back to the hell that spawned it.
No dictator, no invader can hold an imprisoned population by force of arms forever. There is no greater power in the universe than the need for freedom. Against that power, governments and tyrants and armies cannot stand. Though it take 1,000 years, we will be free.